Turning tonight in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 4. It's good to see each of you tonight. It's been a busy weekend here at Calvary Christian School and Calvary Memorial Church. We had the junior-senior on Friday night. We had the mother-daughter banquet last night. And got to go back to work tomorrow. Sorry to inject a discordant note there. And so the temptation would be, you know, I think I'll just kind of flop around tonight and rest up and get ready for tomorrow. But it's a blessing that the Lord puts on your heart to be here and that you're obedient to that drawing and wooing of His Spirit. Genesis chapter 4, and we want to begin reading at verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Let's stop reading there and look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this service tonight. And again, we thank you for the faithfulness of your people. And we thank you for your faithfulness, most of all, to meet here with us and to, by your Spirit, teach us from your word. And we pray that we might have hearts that are open to receive the message that he has for us tonight. Not the message of what a man might say, but the message of your word. We thank you for Calvary Christian School, and we pray that you would bless these last few days of this school year in a special way. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In our recent evening messages, we've been talking about the importance of Christian education and specifically the importance of Calvary Christian School. Our thoughts have been drawn this way as we come down to the end of another school year. Tonight, for a few minutes, we want to try and mention some thoughts about education, its origin, that we didn't have time to get to last week. That's why we've come to the book of Genesis, because I believe that it's here that we see the beginning of education. And I believe that it is here that we see two very different kinds of schools, two philosophies of education that are completely opposite. In fact, they're diametrically opposed to each other. In thinking about this message, I started to say that Adam and Eve had the first school in history. But that's not correct. The first school in history was founded by God Himself. And it was a Christian school. We want to just think for a minute or so about what was taught in that first school that God founded. Science was taught in this first school. Environmental science was taught. Look at Genesis chapter 2. I think it's just back a page or so. Look at Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. The word dress means to labor, means to work. The word keep means to preserve and protect. It means to have charge of. And so the preservation and the protection of this garden was put into the charge of Adam. This is environmental science. How to care for this garden. And it was God's plan from the beginning that it would be that way. Look at Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." I don't think you can find a better commentary on this verse than Dr. Henry Morris's note in his Defender Study Bible. I know many of you have it, have that particular Bible, but for those who don't, I want to read it to you. Dr. Morris says, "The commandment to conquer and rule the earth has been called the dominion mandate, though a better term might be the first commission to mankind. It's never been revoked, but was specifically renewed and extended after the flood. The military terminology, that is, have dominion, in no way implies hostility and resistance from the earth, for it was all very good." We read that in Genesis 1:31. "It suggests rather intensive study of the earth and its creatures." That is science. True science. And then application of that knowledge. That's technology. What technology is the application of science. And commerce. That's economics. It's the study of the relationship between the consumption and production of goods and how to manage resources, limited resources, for the optimum benefit of mankind and the animals and for the glory of God. I don't know of a better commentary on that word dominion and on that verse than this. This is what the Lord was teaching Adam. If Adam was going to keep and dress the garden, he had to be taught to do that. This first school was quite a school, if you stop and think about it. And that's not all that was taught. Look at chapter 2 and verse 19. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 19. "And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field." This is the science of biology. The study of living organisms. Here in God's school, these living organisms are being organized by Adam into their different classes and orders and families. In other words, by their phylum. If you remember that word from your 10th grade biology class. And they're being organized by their species or genus. Another word that we learn in the study of biology. And I would suspect, though it's not here in the record directly, but I would suspect that math was taught. I'm sure that perhaps Adam counted the animals as he organized them into these different groups by their names and by their families, perhaps by their numbers. What we might call family studies or family science was taught in this first school. Look at Genesis chapter 2 and verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." God taught Adam and Eve that marriage is between one man and one woman. He taught them that it is within the bonds of marriage that intimacy between a man and a woman takes place. In other words, abstinence until marriage was part of the teaching taught in this first school of God. And at the heart and at the foundation of this first school, the first school of God, this first Christian school was the Word of God. Look at Genesis chapter 2 and verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Here is the goodness of God in His Word, and through His Word teaching Adam and Eve about the boundaries. The boundaries that protect us as we do right before Him. We try to teach about that here at Calvary Christian School. And as we think about these things, what comes to mind is this: we aren't the inventors of education. Man is not the one who thought up the idea of education. God is. He is the inventor of it. He is the creator of it. He's the founder of it. And it's like that because in Him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He's the beginning of wisdom. He's the beginning of knowledge. If you're going to learn truth, you have to go to the one who is the truth. So here's the first school in all of history, and it's a Christian school, the only kind that God ever intended. But then we come to Genesis chapter 3, and we see the serpent. And what we see in Genesis chapter 3 is that he has an educational system. And that shouldn't surprise us, because Satan is the great imitator of God. He's the great counterfeiter of God. And so the serpent offers Adam and Eve an educational system that is diametrically opposed to God. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, the serpent's educational system questions and casts doubt on the Word of God. "Yea, hath God said?" In verse 4, the educational system of the serpent denies the Word of God. The serpent says in verse 4, "Ye shall not surely die." And in verse 5, the serpent replaces the Word of God. He replaces the truth of God with secular humanism. Verse 5 says, "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods." Ye shall be as God. Man in the place of God. That's secular humanism. Knowing good and evil. Man in the place of God through an educational system. And notice the progression of the serpent's educational system. It first questions the Word of God, then denies the Word of God, and then replaces God altogether. Folks, right here in the beginning, we see these two philosophies of education. One, God-centered. The other, man-centered. One founded on the truth of God's word, the other founded on the religion of secular humanism. One that offers hope and life, the other despair and death. Now look at Genesis chapter 4. What we want to think about in the time that we have left is that Adam and Eve have a school, a Christian school. And it's based on the Word of God. It's patterned after the Christian school that God established. And so it's based on the true science that God taught Adam and Eve. I believe that we see that in the lives of their students. I want us to think of Cain and Abel as students tonight. I think that it's an application that we can make of these verses. Cain was a tiller of the ground. That's an indication that he had learned the lessons of the environmental science that he had been taught. Cain had learned about dressing a garden. Where did he learn that? He had to learn it from Adam. Cain learned about dressing a garden. He learned about working in a garden. The difference is that he learned about sweating. He learned about the sweat of his brow. He learned about having to subdue the thorns and the thistles that the ground brought forth because of the sin of his parents. He had learned about keeping a garden. Cain had studied the earth and learned about preserving and protecting and being in charge of the land that it might produce food. Abel, on the other hand, had learned about having dominion over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Abel had studied the animals. Where did he get that knowledge? He got it from Adam, who got it from God. He was a keeper of sheep. He was a shepherd. And as a shepherd, he was in charge of preserving and caring for and protecting his flock. These boys listened. These boys learned in this Christian school. But what I want us to think about tonight is that there was one course. There was one class. And that class established the eternal difference between these two young men. And that class was Bible class. That class was chapel, if you'll allow me to use that terminology. And in that class, the one thing that made Adam and Eve's Christian school a Christian school, in that class, the one thing that was at the heart of their school, the one thing that was the foundation of every course that was presented, was taught. And that was the Word of God. What was taught was the message of the gospel. The message that God Himself had taught Adam and Eve. Look at Genesis chapter 3 and verse 21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord make coats of skins and clothe them. Here's the message of the gospel. Here's old time gospel preaching here in the very beginning. Pastor Kelly has a message. I don't know if it's on sermon audio. I know there's folks that are putting a lot of his messages on, and there's a message that he preached many years ago called Old Time Gospel Preaching. If it's on there, look it up, see if you can find it. It's a tremendous message. But here's the old time gospel. Here's the message of the coming Lamb of God. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, who would give His life, who would take our place, who would die as this Lamb did. Adam and Eve deserved death. But the lamb took their place. This lamb that we're reading about in verse 21 took their place and died the death that they deserved that they might be clothed. You and I deserve death. We've sinned and we've come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve. But the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, took our place. He died the death that we deserve. He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be clothed in His righteousness, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. All of the academic classes that we mentioned earlier that were taught, they were important. But those classes paled in importance to this class, this Bible class. This was the most important class that was taught at Adam and Eve's Christian school. That's true today. The academic classes that are taught at Calvary Christian School are important. The sciences, the maths, the histories, the Englishes, the languages that we teach, the home ec class. I see some of the things that those young ladies are working, and I wish I could put a bag over my head sometime and go in there and learn some of those things. All of these classes that we teach, all the academics that we teach at Calvary Christian School are important. But Bible time in every class, chapel time, and I hope you pray for it. If you look at your watch at 10:30 every day, pray for the chapel service that takes place in here. It takes place every day, 5 days a week. It's the most important class that is taught at this Christian school. And the reaction that we see here in Adam and Eve's Christian school is exactly the reaction that we see here at Calvary Christian School. One student, Abel, trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. The other student, Cain, did not. Young people, there's a lesson in that I hope you'll consider. Coming to a Christian school will not save you. Coming to a Christian school won't save you. Coming to chapel every day, 5 days a week, 180 days a year, from grade 7 through grade 12, and for the previous 6 years in your Bible class in the elementary school, that won't save you. For unto Abel was the gospel preached, as well as unto Cain. But the word did not profit Cain, not being mixed with faith in him that heard it. Cain knew the message. He had been taught it, I believe, from the earliest days of his life, just like many of the young people at Calvary Memorial Church. He knew the message in his head, but he never believed it in his heart. Cain rejected the message of salvation. Oh, he got the truth of the academics just fine. But he rejected the most important truth that he was taught, the truth of the gospel, that Christ died for his sins, that he was a sinner in need of a Savior, and if he would believe in him, he would not perish, but have everlasting life. Cain rejected that message. He rejected that truth, and he left the Christian school of Adam and Eve lost. Just as there are young people at Calvary Christian School that will leave this school lost. That tells us that things haven't changed at the Christian school in the last nearly 6,000 years. We have students at Calvary Christian School every year And they get the truth of the academics just fine. They'll study. They'll listen in class. They'll be attentive. They reject the most important truth that they are taught. The truth of the gospel. The truth that they're sinners. Sinners that Jesus came to save. Christ died for their sins. And they miss the message. They reject the message. That if they would believe in Him. The message of John 3:16. For God so loved the world. That He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. But have everlasting life. But they reject that truth. And many of them. As we talked about last week. As we considered Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, where we read about the many and the few. The many will lead this school lost. This gets back to what we were talking about last week in Jude, verse 22. And of some have compassion, making a difference. Of some. Making a difference. Not all. Some. Adam and Eve, as we see it here, made a difference in only one student's life at their Christian school. And the point that we don't want to miss is that even though they only made a difference in the life of one student, Adam and Eve weren't discouraged. Now you say, how do you know that? I believe we know that because they continued to teach. They didn't shut down the doors of their Christian school after they didn't see the results that they thought they or that they hoped they would see. They continued to teach. They continued to plant. They continued to water. And allow God to give the increase. And what is so encouraging, I think, is the word, is that we see God giving the increase. We see Him giving the increase in the life of a young man by the name of Seth. Look at Genesis chapter 4 and verse 25. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. But the increase doesn't stop there. Notice one of the things, one of the blessing that comes from God, from following God's pattern of instruction in the Christian school, God's pattern of planting and watering and allowing Him to give the increase. It's the effect that faithfully teaching the Word of God can have in the lives of the generations that follow. Look at verse 26. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son. And he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Adam and Eve continued to teach the truth in their Christian school. They continued to plant. They continued to water. And here's God giving the increase. He gave the increase in the life of their son Seth. But that wasn't the end. He gave the increase in the life of Seth's son, Adam and Eve's grandson. After the service last week, Sue Thomas mentioned how there are children who came to this school, and now their children, second generation, are in the school. And some of those children are teaching in this school. As I was reading verse 25 and verse 26, the thought that came to my mind is, well, this is exactly what Sue was talking about last week. Here it is in the first Christian school, the faithfulness of teachers Adam and Eve in this case, but the faithfulness of teachers planting and watering and God giving the increase, not just in the first generation, but in the second generation of children. We see that here at Calvary Christian School. And I'll tell you something else that we see. Young people who have left this school, and on the surface, outwardly, in spite of their profession, to the contrary, there seems to be little or no interest in the things of the Lord in their lives. They seem to have left here just looking at the outward appearance. It's all that we can do. We can't look on the heart. But by your fruits ye shall know them. And we look at young people who have left this school, and we see at times, we hear at times the lives that they're living. But when they get married and have children, an amazing thing happens. You know where many of those children come to school? Calvary Christian School. Why? Because those young people who left here and they seemingly have no interest in the things of the Lord. You seldom see them at church. But they send their children here because they know that their children will hear something here that they will not hear in the public schools. Even though their children could go to the public school for free. In fact, they're already paying for their children to go to the public schools. And according to what we hear, according to what we read, we aren't paying enough. But they're already paying. But they send them here because they know that what they're going to hear in this place is the truth of the Word of God. And they know you can't put a value on that. You can't put a value on that. The eternal value. How do you put a value on the life and the blood of the Son of God? There is no value that we can imagine or put on that. And that is what they know their children will hear about at Calvary Christian School. Planning and watering, the Lord giving the increase, the Lord making a difference in the lives of some of these young people and in the lives of their children. That's just an amazing thing to think about. Sometimes the results aren't the first generation. They'll show in the, God will give the increase in the second generation or maybe even in the third generation. But the Lord making a difference in the lives of these young people, in the lives of their children, that's why we continue on at Calvary Christian School. That's why we need to think about these things as we come to the end of the school year. We're tired. We're tired. 180 days is a lot of days. And it's days of warfare. It's days of warfare where the powers of darkness are doing everything they can through the children in the classroom, through the parents who think that their little darling can do no wrong and that you have some kind of problem. You're against my child. These different things that come up and take place, and in the midst of it, we're to show the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not to get angry. We're not to have a bad attitude. It's warfare, and it happens every day. And we get tired and we get weary in the way. But we need to be renewed in our minds that this is why we're here at Calvary Christian School. This is the importance of this place. It's the importance of this church. It's the importance of this school. And it's the reason that, as we said last week, every day, every one of us who know the Lord, every one of us who are here, should thank Christ Jesus our Lord, as Paul did, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Be thankful that in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off, lost in sin, going our own way, doing our own will, have been made nigh by the blood of Christ. And now we're laborers together with God, sent to his harvest, one of the laborers. I hope the Lord will encourage us tonight as we think about these things. Encourage us to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Father, we thank you for allowing us to be together tonight and to consider these things. And we pray that they would not be coming to this church and hearing the messages would not be just an academic exercise. But we pray that it might be an exercise of heart that causes us to examine ourselves, that causes us to be encouraged, that causes us to be built up in the faith, that causes us to not be weary in well-doing. We pray that you would help us. And again, we just cry out to you for these final few days of school, the final few chapel messages that these young people will hear for this year. They assume, many of them assume, that they'll be back in the fall. They assume that they can wait. They're young. They've got plenty of time to live. Father, impress upon their hearts that they aren't to boast themselves of tomorrow, for they know not what a day may bring forth, and that now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We pray that you would just speak to our hearts concerning these things, and we pray it in Jesus' name.